Greetings, salutations, hello, hey, how's it going? Welcome to another episode from Radioland for the home office in Memphis, Tennessee. With this this show broadcast, where it, well, I guess technically it's a broadcast, although it's a podcast.
Hello, my name is Rick Jenner, and this is from Radioland.
I hear you say that. You're doing it. You're podcasting. Yeah, but I don't like, I just don't like the word. I'm forced into having to use that term as a broadcaster to talk about podcasting because it's a cast that takes place in a pod of some sort. Not quite sure who the hip genius was that came up with that terminology, but, you know, just let them have it, I suppose. Nevertheless, I mean, it's on-demand programming. It's just, you know, this is basically radio. You know, how that became a dirty word is, well, that's thanks to corporate. Corporate radio fucked up radio. There's nothing, two ways around that thing. Fight me on that, bitch. Just such as it is. But hey, it's an on-demand program. In fact, this is so radio, what you're about to hear came from it. As a matter of interest, Dr. Feelgood Potts and his lovely daughter, Sheba Potts Wright, will be on the program here talking about music from a very, very musical family. Of course, you'll hear some of their tunes from back in the day when Dad was doing it and to the stuff that Sheba's doing now. So that's going to be a good time. So there it is. That's what's on the program. That's what's on the podcast. Why is it a podcast? It's technically a broadcast. It's one show being dispersed to many people, and they're able to listen to it. The only difference is you can listen to it whenever you want. So such is the case, maybe. So, all right, look, we'll pause. We'll come back. Enough of that nonsense. Dr. Feelgood Potts and Sheba Potts Wright join the program from Radioland next. Get on the Memphis Brew Bus. Every Saturday at 2 p.m., we'll take a 3.5-hour adventure through the Memphis craft brewery scene. The Memphis Brew Bus stops at 3 local breweries for some special behind-the-scenes tours, talks with the master brewers, and, of course, tasting of their signature brews. While on the bus, you'll hear stories and learn about the history of beer. Plus, you'll get some music from the Radio Memphis Library. Go to memphisbrewbus.com and find them on Facebook. The Memphis Brew Bus. We'll drive you to drink. We've been looking forward to getting into this this program tonight because Dr.
Anything with this.
Come on.
Okay, thank you. Wow. Okay.
Dr. Feelgood Potts is here in the studio. Also, Sheba Potts Wright is here as well.
Yay.
Thank you so much for coming down tonight.
Thank you. Love
having you down here.
Thank you. We're glad to be here.
Legendary music makers here in the studio.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The real legend is sitting over here to my right. Dr. Feelgood, you over there, Dad?
You doing all right,
Dad? You over there, Dad?
I'm cool.
We on the air now.
He's feeling good right now.
Yeah, he's looking all cool and stuff.
Well, he's got his shades on. I know we got one of the lights on. We didn't turn all the lights on because, it can get kind of bright. But we do that for the cameras. But
Absolutely. But
we're so glad that you guys could come in tonight. Dr. Feelgood, you've been performing, I guess, all your whole life, haven't you, sir?
Yes, I have.
Yeah. Is this something you started as a little boy and then grew up into it, or?
Well, I'm from the Mississippi Delta.
Yeah.
Greenwood, right?
Yeah, Greenwood, Mississippi. First heard Sonny Boy Williams on radio out of Helena, Arkansas. I heard him. I was in Greenwood.
Yeah.
And blues was a big thing around that part. Around Greenwood was a town that everybody wanted to come to. You know, blues people wanted to come to.
Oh,
Greenwood.
Sure.
And singing the blues, and you know, get into the audience from around in Greenwood.
So I know you came from a large family, but what does large mean? How many were in your family?
Like my mama used to say, I got five boys, five girls.
A heap.
It was ten kids. And
a
all.
Heap of yeah.
That's large to me.
That's a big family. So did you play in the church any? Is that kind of how you got into it, or is it just kind of hanging around the house with all the kids?
I was kind of hanging around the house with all the kids.
Yeah.
My older brother used to do a lot of church stuff. He's deceased now.
Yeah.
Sonny.
Yes.
Uncle
Sonny. Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yes, Sonny.
And I'm assuming that Dr. Feelgood is not your government name.
No, that's a hammer. That's a hammer.
That's the hammer there. What, did somebody put that onto you, or was that something that that came up from just playing?
Well, it kind of grew on me. I really wasn't looking for it, but it just kind of grew on me, and it kept going. Dr. Feelgood Potts. Dr. Feelgood.
It works.
I think he was making them feel good in the morning or something like that. Something
or at night, too.
At night.
Something's going on over there.
Yeah, something's going on. Dad, why don't you tell them about the story you told me when you were younger? You were sitting on the porch and the old man down the street or something, down the road, I should say. He gave you a harmonica, didn't he?
Oh, yeah. Jesse Jefferson.
Yeah.
I used to really, really, really like the AM blow the harmonica, and when he had paused for a few minutes, I try to get to the harmonica. Say, let me blow.
Yeah.
He said, "Boy, you can't blow this harmonica. You can't blow it." And I talk him into letting me out of the harmonica.
Yeah.
And I would try to get the sound that he was getting.
And you were how old?
I was a little kid. Yeah. I was a kid. And I think that was before my elementary school days.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, harmonica is not one of those things you can teach. You just either have it or you don't. Right. You know, you just got to play around with it till you figure it out, right?
Yeah, you got to mess around with it. It'll grow on you.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I've heard from many a harmonica player that once you get started on it, it's there with you for the rest of your life, and it's almost like an addiction. You're always buying new harmonicas and, you know, keeping it going, you know, and playing all the time.
He does have a lot of them around his house. Yes.
They do teach it, though, Rick. I actually took a class one time. It was a continuing education class at University of Memphis.
And they taught you how to play the harmonica?
Randy Bird was the guy who did it. I won't say they taught me, you know. They give you the basics.
So I'm looking for her to blow us some in a minute. Then.
No. Oh,
hey, that's about right, yeah.
I thought I was going to be like the next Christy Hines or something, you know. Didn't work out that way.
What all do you need to get started?
You just basic, like you say, and you are... The harmonica will grow on you and you'll grow on it. As you go, as time passes by, you know. Once you get a little taste of it, you just keep going back, and you keep, you know, you keep working from what you already have learned. And you work up from that.
Did you play it like put on a record and listen to that and play with that record to help learn a little bit better?
Yeah, well, it was nice listening to someone else play. You would get their feel and your feel and mix it in together.
Yeah.
It sounds funky, yeah.
What was that now, Sheba?
I like that. I wanted to learn myself, but I mean, it got too late for me, so.
Oh, it's never too late, Sheba. You're a performer. You're a singer. We're gonna hear some of your music tonight as well.
Oh,
but
cool.
But you don't play. You don't.
I don't play the harp. No, I grew up playing piano lessons. At what age, Dad? What was I? What age was I?
You were
young.
Real young.
I can't remember, but I did the piano and alto sax, bass clarinet, tenor sax, xylophone.
Well, there's
bass,
not
drum.
There's not
stuff
too many.
I can't do now.
Oh, come on, you could do it. There's not too many women out there who play the harp, though.
Yeah,
you don't hear
true.
Of it. And see, talk about adding some novelty to your act. There,
absolutely, that would be.
And you really do have the best teacher in the world. Right here.
I have other people that are out there saying, "Dr. Feelgood, I want you to teach me something," you know, but I never say it. But It's a good idea.
There you go.
Yeah, blow one song or something.
Sure.
Maybe it'll help me.
I think
if you still got the patience.
I bet you the second you start doing that and you do it on stage once, you're going to want to do it more and more.
Absolutely.
It'd be good. I'd love to see you do it.
I think I might have to add it to my resume now, my musical resume.
Well, sure.
That I can do it now.
Sure. I know you've been singing for a long time as well.
I mean, it came
up through the family, clearly.
I have. I've been singing a long time, and you know, I'm going to have to get Dr. Feelgood back in on this. He's going to tell you when I first started singing. This is going to blow your mind. Tell him, Dad, how old was I?
You were still in the
baby crib.
Crib.
9 months old, right?
Somewhere along there. I heard you singing. Baby, you listen to a lot of Otis Redding stuff. And you just thought, baby, here I am. Baby. No, you were singing.
Too hard to handle.
Baby,
was it too hard to handle?
Yeah, I'm a man with dialysis. Too Hard to Handle was the name of the song.
Yeah. Yeah.
And at 9 months, you were just singing along.
That's what he said. I'm just going to go along with it. Yes. So 9 months. And then I remember we went on a little excursion probably about 5 months ago. No, not that long. 4 months, something. We were riding through South Memphis. And the street Neptune, it's by Lamorna One.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was telling him, I said, Dad, I remember you used to leave me over my godmom's house when I lived here in Memphis. And I would, I had to been about, God, I don't know, six?
You were a toddler.
Yeah, I was a young girl. And I remember the people around the corner would give me a nickel or a dime just to sing for them.
Oh, how about that?
Yes, they would sing, and I'll never forget my godmother. She came looking for me. I was standing on the porch just singing, and she came with them switches and told my butt up I was singing another note running on.
But Mama, I'm making money.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, but I had been about six, seven, or something like that. I can't remember. Mm-hmm. So I've been singing all my life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I guess your whole, most of your family is musical, so it's kind of inside of you, isn't it?
It is. It's embedded in me, and I mean, it's there.
Yeah.
Can't remove it at all.
Yeah.
It's there.
And you're busy singing today too.
I am singing now. I'm actually with a record company here out of Memphis called Echo Records.
Yes.
Yeah, John Ward.
Yes. Yes.
I've been with those guys almost 20 years now. No, I look like I'm 25 now, right?
I would have thought maybe 21, maybe.
21. You know? I'll do that one.
Yeah.
That's a good one. But, yeah, I started out with my dad, of course. And, well, no, actually, I started out in high school. I was with this band called the 21st Century Band. And I was the only lady. It was five guys. And the guy named is Russell Baxter. So, he got me started. And matter of fact, I played the bass guitar a little bit. He taught me how to play that a little bit. But yeah, I started out with him, and then I went with Dad, and I ended up with Denise LaSalle, if you guys remember.
Oh, yeah.
My mentor, I remember the day that my daddy released me to her. He said, I need you to go ahead and learn everything you can from her. And, you know, it went from there. And she
just passed recently.
She did. She passed in January, right? This year. January.
You called me one day and said, Denise wanted me to go on the road with her. I said, go on out there with her. I said, you can learn a lot from her.
Yeah. And I did.
And you did.
And I did. And my first hit song was Slow Roll It. And the reason why, she told me, she said, I'm too old to talk about some slow rolling. She said, but you're ready. You're ready. She said, you're ready. So, and
just
I'm
setting you right on up.
Set me right up.
Yeah.
And that was in 2001. So
you were about 15 around that time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
12. Yeah.
I'm just being a suck up over here.
I'm sucking it up too.
I hear you, baby. No, but that's cool. That's cool how it all started with you.
Yeah. So she got me started.
Denise was very helpful to me too. She said, Everywhere I go, Dr. Feelgood, I always tell them about you. I promote you.
Yeah. Yeah, she was a good lady.
On my show, everywhere I go, she said, that'll catch on.
Yeah.
So you worked with your dad on stage too, didn't you?
Yes. Uh-huh.
What was that like working with your dad on stage?
Oh, it was awesome. It was awesome. I was like a fan. I'm going to be honest.
Yeah.
I remember he did a show in Greenwood, Mississippi at the Civic Center. And he said, I'm going to introduce you. I'm going to bring you out on my own. But as far as the background part, I did stuff with him in the studio.
Sure.
Yeah, in the studio.
But to get on stage.
He brought me out in Greenwood. And, you know, I just felt like a groupie. I felt like a fan that day. But I enjoyed it. And
that's wonderful.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I had his, he had my back, and I guess I got his now. Yeah, but it was wonderful. It's a dream come true.
Yeah.
You know, it's really a dream come true to actually be able to perform with your father. And.
Well, yeah, I mean, because when you're working in that family dynamic,
right.
it's so much deeper than working with very close friends.
Absolutely,
you know, there's
this is
my blood, this is my family.
Yeah. I'm just so happy that he did release me to Denise. Denise is like his sister, you know, they come from the same area, same place. And you know, when he released me to her, that was the best thing that could have happened to me.
Sure.
You know, so I always tell him I appreciate that, you know. Mm-hmm.
Denise's brother taught
you in school.
I was trying to think of the subject, social science. It related to social science, government, and social science.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, he taught him in
Nate
school.
Allen.
Nate. Yeah, I think he just recently passed too, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. Yep. But that's it. Yeah.
Well, I tell you what, I need to grab this break here, and when we come back, I was going to play some music from, I guess, both of you, if you'd like. I don't know.
Yeah.
Pick one of. Let's start with the good doctor here. Which one would we?
Doctor Love, Dad, you want him to play In-Laws, some of your older stuff or newer stuff?
Okay, we'll play In-Laws here in just a moment. And
my In-Laws ain't nothing but outlaws.
Wow.
And you know that's true.
That's a true song.
It's the truth.
It's true.
And Sheba, let's go ahead and back one in there with your daddy as well. Which one you want to do?
Well, let's do one that he's actually playing the harmonica on. Boy toy. Yeah, I can't think right now.
That's okay.
Uh huh.
I can't think either. I'm just thrilled to death that you're both in here.
Thank you. We appreciate it.
And we're gonna get to hang with you for a little while this evening too. So we're gonna talk a bit more, play some more of this music and whatnot. And and we'll be back to learn more about the musical history of the Potts family,
yes.
If you will. Dr. Feelgood Potts is in the studio. Sheba Potts Wright has also joined us.
Yeah.
But outlaw, my in-law, they ain't nothing but outlaw. I'm gonna tell the whole world, ain't nothing good I can say about my in-law. Well, they'll come over your house and eat up all of your food. Over your house and eat up all of your food. Then they'll go out in the street and they will talk about you. Now check this out. Well, they'll jump like a hammer, a knife, pick, and a saw. A knife, pick, and a saw. You better watch your in-law. My in-law ain't nothing but outlaw. My in-law ain't nothing but outlaw. I'm gonna tell the whole world, ain't nothing good I can say about my in-law.
Mississippi Delta. I got the blues all in my bones, coming straight up from the Tin Pan Alley. See, my daddy taught me a lot when I was a little girl. He made me know it was all right to have the blues. His name is Dr. Feelgood Potts. Come on, Daddy, keep playing the blues. See, Tin Pan Alley was my second home. That's where they play the blues all night long. My daddy told me not to ever be ashamed of the blues, 'cause the blues will always tell the truth. I love the blues. I'm a blues man's daughter. I love the blues. Something I can use.
There you go. There's Sheba Potts right there at Radio Memphis there. I'm a blues man's daughter.
Yes.
That was written by
Dr. Robert Dr. Feelgood Potts. Yeah. Yeah. The blues man himself.
Yeah. That's a great song.
Yeah. You know, it's been a while since I listened to that.
Yeah, you forgot the words to it. You're in here singing along with it.
But he was like, do the blues man do it. I forgot all about this song.
It's a great tune.
Yeah, it is. Dad, I enjoyed that. What about you?
Yeah, I did. It brought back old memories.
Yeah.
The blues man daughter.
That's something.
Ahead of that, it was Dr. Feelgood himself there with My In-Laws.
Yes.
My In-Laws Are Outlaws.
Maybe he has a story behind
I think he does. What's the story behind My In-Laws?
Well, it really was just, it's something that was kind of catchy from many years back. My in-law.
Tell the truth.
You know, you know. Well, the truth about it is, it really was a fun thing. My in-laws ain't nothing but outlaws. Because I found out that, you know, down through the years, people that had experienced things like that with their in-laws, you know, and but they always loved their in-laws. And I love my in-laws, too.
Okay. Yeah. But, can we get you on a lie detector test?
Can we hook him up?
I know it was the catchy thing, you know. A catchy thing. We're back to the history of in-laws. And I thought it was a good song to write. Write about my in-laws ain't nothing but outlaws.
Well, you were right. That is a good song to write about.
Good song, true song. Yeah.
So from what I understand, it was about, 1967 when you came to Memphis to pursue your career?
Big one.
About 1967, when you came to Memphis to start really pursuing your career.
Yeah, I used to come catch the Greyhound bus and Trailway bus, come up and go to Stax Records. Yeah, I had to go to Stax Records, and they would audition me, and kept doing that. Then I found my way around to Willie Mitchell studio, where that was before Al Green came along. Willie just was to be all, he was into the music, really into it. He was a stone, true hearted producer and writer, arranger. And, he was sincere about his music. And, back in those days, you just about had studios on every corner.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Back in the early 60s. Mm-hmm. I used to, I used to work my job, and I couldn't wait to go to a studio. That was Lynn Lou on Chelsea. And American Music was on Chelsea, and There were studios all over the place in that time. The recording studios. And they would, Aretha Franklin did a lot of recording here too.
Yeah, she did.
And there was a Muscle Shoals down in Alabama.
Alabama. Mm.
They had that Memphis sound too.
I remember, Dad, let me tell you, I remember the first time I saw him perform. I had to been about two. I think we had moved here from Detroit or Chicago or somewhere. And it was a show called Tala Party? Tala Party?
Yeah, George Klein.
Tala Party.
Tala Party, yeah. That was a big deal.
Yeah.
It was a huge show.
Dad had a song out back then called Under Your Spell and Funky Postman. It was really some series. I loved it. I loved it. But I was about 2 years old, and I remember we had the little black and white TV on the table in the kitchen, and my mom was like, "There's your dad on TV." And I'm confused. I'm like, "Daddy, daddy, daddy." You know what I'm saying? But then he walked through the door, and I'm like, I cried. I didn't know what was going on.
He started singing the blues again.
Yeah,
is what you did.
I was singing the blues at that time. Yeah.
But you had to get on George Klein's show back then. That was a big deal.
Yes.
That was a really, really big deal.
I didn't know that.
I was on there one time.
Were you really?
Yeah, but I was cheerleading.
You were dancing in the crowd, were you? That's what you were doing.
She is not eventually.
Jim Dandy with Black Oak, Arkansas was on the same day as my high school cheerleaders.
She's going to eventually sing in a minute or play a harmonica.
Uh-huh.
She's done a lot.
Well, you know, Willie Hall's wandering the studios, man. And he was at Stax at one point.
No, yes.
With Jim Dandy.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, Jim Dandy had a different band back in those days.
Wow. Well, okay, he reminisces now.
Going you want to my next door neighbor dropping off a letter to Mr. Postman, you know you're untrue. You won't bring me no mail.
Is this a song you sang on Tala Party?
Funky Postman.
Yeah, Funky Postman.
Postman.
It was a nice tune.
Many
guys.
Years ago.
Yeah,
you funky postman, you won't bring me no mail.
Mm-hmm. Good song.
And I was on Beale Street many years later, and it was a lady. She was from some parts of Alabama. And she said, "I want to hear that first record you recorded, Funky Postman." I said, "I didn't know you know
good
that."
Good song.
Yeah, I knew about that. She knew the Phillips.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they was legendary. Sam, Doug Phillips, Sam Phillips, and the younger generation.
There was Knox Phillips, I think, was in there in the family as well.
So correct me if I'm wrong. Klein was with Elvis Presley, right?
That's right.
Yeah. That's the one. Yeah. They went to high school together.
Yeah,
they were
like buddies.
Right.
Yeah, they were like best men at each other's wedding, you know.
See, I didn't know that is definitely something good to know. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That was his show.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. He was at WHBQ.
Really?
And
okay.
You know, he was on the air there and
I remember.
And his whole thing was the Jeeker in your speaker.
Yeah, I remember him. I remember him. Do remember him. But to put that history together for me, that's something.
Well, I mean, he still has an Elvis.
Yeah, he.
Show
yeah, he.
On
yeah,
radio,
he does
right?
on Bill yeah. Street, right?
Yeah, he was doing it. I think on one of the. I think on satellite. I think it was on Sirius XM there for a bit, and
okay.
It used to air on a couple of different FM stations here, and it was a show called the Elvis Hour.
Oh. Okay.
And I for a couple of seasons I produced it. I was one of the producers of that show, and
right.
that was interesting to sit there with George and listen to the stories that he had about Elvis.
Yeah.
And it spawned kind of a funny drinking game that came out of this, because all these other radio people would go, if you'll notice, he says, "I remember the time when Elvis..." Dot,
that's
dot,
how
dot.
I go.
Yeah.
Da, da, da.
And every time you heard that, you'd take a drink. "I remember the time when Elvis..." And in an hour-long show, you got pretty hammered.
You probably did.
It's like beer pong.
Yeah. But George is he's a great, great guy. I know he's been battling some health issues here of late, you know, as happens. But He wound up working over at WYPL, the library thing he was doing. He had the he had a television show there.
I think I remember that.
Up until
with
just
black hair.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
George Klein.
They had that Christmas party every year.
Yeah. Yeah. There was the George Klein Christmas party, and of course, around the two Elvis dates, he would always be at panels, and he would speak. Yeah. So yeah, with Dr.
That's,
Feelgood all
that,
up on that
I'm
show.
Telling you, I cannot believe
that's
that.
A big deal.
I got
that's
to awesome. Mention my friend Roland.
Roland James.
Roland James.
Yeah.
He was, I cut my in-laws in as an outlaw. It was Roland James. And then I cut a lot of, in fact, I cut a lot of tunes with Roland James.
And that was at Phillips Recording, wasn't it?
Yes.
Over at Sam Phillips Recording Studio there around the corner from Sun.
Okay.
Which they just rebuilt and put that back in there.
Oh, they did. They sure did, yeah. See, I'm learning some new stuff about my pops. I didn't even know that.
So you had
your own record recording studio, right?
R.L.
For a while, yeah.
Yeah, R.L. Potts Records.
R.L.P. Records.
R.L.P. Records, yeah. So were you an official Stax recording artist at that time, or was you just kind of brought in every once in a while over there? How did that work?
I wasn't an official recording artist at Stax. But I used to hang out at Stax a lot, like in High Records.
Oh, yeah.
High Records
and Stax Records. I used to hang out. I'd leave one and go to the other one. I'd leave Stax and go to Willie Mitchell's High Records. And the High Records come back to Stax, back and forth,
Right.
And I'd live for those moments when I could. See, they had an open door policy at High Records. You could just walk in off the street, and Willie Mitchell would let you come in and hang out with him, see him work. And Stack was the same way too. You could watch them, watch the musicians, watch the producers work with the musicians, and. Same thing at Willie Mitchell's. It just kind of, you live for those moments. I did.
Yeah, you did.
When I could visit High and with Willie Mitchell and then back and forth to Stack. I first started out when I was in Greenwood, Mississippi, coming up. Yeah, I'd catch the bus and come to High Records and, Stack Records. Then I finally moved up here in Memphis.
What about Malico,
from Greenwood.
Daddy? What about Malico?
Malico, they came after High Records.
Yeah.
They came after Stack Records. Stack was already established and the High Records was already established before Malico came in. But I got to mention my friend George Jackson.
Right.
One thing about George knew music. It was in his blood. And he ended up being a big writer for Malico Records and a producer of Johnny Taylor. Johnny Taylor had left Stack Records and went down to Malico. And he became the main
writer man at Malico. Yeah.
And y'all
singer
write,
at Malico Records.
Didn't y'all write together some too?
Oh yes.
I wrote a lot of songs for Johnny Taylor. He recorded one called Don't Make Me Late.
Yeah.
Don't Make Me Late. It was a singer. It was an album tune. It was a singer. In fact, I still get a few royalties, which I've she will be getting my royalty checks after I'm passed on.
Well, we're gonna have to go on and start doing a lot of research around here. See what's going on. because he is, we make a joke all the time about I Want My Daddy Records. I don't know if y'all remember that. With Blind Mama Jam. What is that? Blind Mella Jam. Fred Sanford, they used to say that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
my daddy. I Want My Daddy Records. So he always teased me about that. He said, I'm going to be saying that I Want My Daddy Records. So, yeah, now's a good time to go ahead and get started.
Did you see where the Music Modernization Act was just signed into law last week? And what it does is it increases the royalties for artists and producers.
Are you kidding me?
And it doesn't come into effect, I think, for another couple of years, but it's now a law. But but what's important here is that it includes music before 1972. See, that for some bizarre reason, that cutoff date had always been a kind of a weird, contentious thing. Mm-hmm. And now they've gone back and they've pushed it even mm-hmm. further back. So, you know, if there's any artist that had music that was recorded before 1972 is now eligible to get those sales royalties.
Oh, Dad, that's right. You hear that?
That's really great.
So that should really help, especially artists that had been around for so long and trying to get that to put together. But and I think in the coming months you'll start to hear more and more about it.
Right. So. I'm gonna be looking out for that because he did. Your question was, did him and George Jackson write a lot of music together? Yes, they did. Mm-hmm. I remember being a little girl, once again, sitting Isaac Hayes. Well, George Jackson had a home down at Jackson and Parkway, around the corner from, what was Echo Records at first? Disco Duck Man recorded.
Rick Dees.
Oh, yeah, Rick Dees. Yeah. He was around the corner from that studio. And I would go and sit on the carpet. And he would sing and write. They would play the piano, just be writing stuff. And, you know, I'm just absorbing it all in, all of that. But, yeah, that's good to know, good information, because they wrote tons of songs.
Oh, yeah. And I would imagine in those days, like you were saying, Dr. Feelgood, about being able to walk into any one of those studios and watch, I bet you learned just a lot just being around it.
Yeah, I had to hang out around the studios. I loved it. I loved doing that.
Yeah,
you discover how tunes came about, you know, and you get from the ground floor, found out how tunes got started, and then they boom, went on out. And, you know, they became hits, national and international hits.
Yeah, that's right. And other people remade them.
Well, that's where that money is. That's where the sweet money is, right there.
Yeah, Millie Jackson. I just got the Millie Jackson Sexy Sassy Blues Award.
Oh, you did now?
Yes,
yeah.
I did.
When was this?
Thank you. When was it? Last month, a month before last. July. It was
back in
July.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
That's
Thank
awesome. You. Add that to the resume, huh?
That is definitely something that needs to be added to my library, my resume, everything. But I was so honored to receive that award from her.
Yeah.
But the point that I'm trying to go to is Millie told me, she says, Sheba, get you some songs out there, get you some good songs. She says, start sampling other people's songs. And she said, you can sit back and retire one day. She said, because that's what I do right now. She said, people are retiring, sampling her songs.
Yes.
All of that, and she's doing really well.
And I think that's also in this new law, too, is how the sampling rates are being paid. Because there for a while, it was such a mess beforehand. Yeah. And there were a lot of artists, a lot of rappers and hip-hop artists were sampling stuff.
Right, of course.
And Willie Hall has had that happen to him.
Right.
You know, as a drummer, he was a drummer for Isaac Hayes for years. Absolutely. And they had taken his beats and his rhythms, and they were inserting them in these tunes.
That's
and
same with Harold Bean.
With Harold Bean and Howard Grimes, all those guys. And they were not getting paid. Yeah.
They think the story they will get paid now.
Yeah. Please. Yeah, that's the difference, you know. And the music industry has been so difficult, I know, you know. And I'm sure.
Cutthroat, as they call it.
I bet Pops over here could tell you how difficult it was even back then.
Yeah. It was difficult then.
Well, I used to hang around, you know, from the ground floor up. I just hang around studios and
But it was hard to get in there, though, right?
Yeah, you had to click. Mm. You had to have a click if you wanted to get in there.
Yeah.
You really had to have come up with a good idea and a good song. It might get snapped from you, or you might. If you're lucky, you got it recorded on you.
Yeah.
And then someone else could record it also.
Yeah.
It just depends.
Well, I know back, I remember I was hit with a radio person? I think it was a radio person. And I actually cried because this was my first time ever experiencing this. And Denise LaSalle, and I think Dad told me too, that no, they cannot do you like that. That's against the law. I had a radio personality to tell me that I need to pay him money or I need to give him some
That's
money.
Correct. That's illegal.
Yes.
It is illegal. And that's called payola.
Payola.
Yeah, and it's a federal crime, and there are radio people who have gone to prison over that.
He actually hunted me down. He was from Greenville, Mississippi.
Mm-hmm.
Truman, whatever he was. And he just made me feel so low.
Yeah.
That's horrible.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was like, wait a minute. Well, you
How
need to talk to my
want?
Record. Yeah. You need to talk to them. Don't talk to me about it, you know. And I'm so happy. And when I'm happy
That you didn't do it.
That I didn't do it for one thing, and that I knew people like Denise LaSalle and my dad. And I had people to go to tell me, no, that's what they used to do. That's what we had to do back then.
Oh, wow.
You know, but
and you
now,
know, it, and in a weird way, it still happens.
That, it does under the rug,
and that's why you have artists. I'm not going to name any names, but there are artists that you hear every once in a while. And you wonder why am I hearing this? How is it that this person is a celebrity? How is this person a star when this music is brutal?
Tell me about it. I know I got stories on it, and I know I am. Forgive me, y'all. I'm a hell of an artist.
Oh, yeah.
Bad. When I say I'm bad, I got to give it to myself. I got to pay my own something. Because I don't just sing. I perform.
You put on a show.
I do a lot, yeah. And I've had Mr. Willis to help me put a show together. And that show, it was coming off this CD here. When I put it together, you know, it was marketing Memphis. It was going back down memory lane. It was, you know, and everybody loved it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I know this going to keep me moving. But it's like you gotta have they show favoritism to people.
Well, you know,
or you gotta have
the money.
Yeah, you gotta.
You know, so. And here we are. We're on. We broadcast solely through the internet.
Right.
This is what we're doing tonight now, and because of that, we're not bound by those payola laws, believe it or not, because the FCC does not control us.
Gosh,
however, and this, I've said it forth to everybody who is on the air here, I tell them this. I say, you will not do that. You will not accept money for play. And I'll tell you why, is that if you've got an artist who's very good, there's no need for it.
There's no need
for it. And then they don't get airplay because you're taking money from musicians that are horrible, and now your radio station sounds like butt. And that is not good practice. It's tacky. It's abhorrent. I know it's too easy to take that quick buck, but that's a good way to make yourself look really, really bad, and it does nothing for the artist.
You said something so interesting, and, you know, I like to say this because I do interviews all the time.
Right.
And I was just telling them I did one yesterday, I did one today, and I got one set up for tomorrow. I like to tell the listeners and people that are up under the, you know, up under my voice at that time that, you know, forgive me, I'm not trying to be modest, but I come from some good genes. My mom is mixed, my dad, we got all of that deep blood in us running. So it made me, okay? So I've had people to try me.
Yes.
I've had promoters to try me. I've had people, well, if you want to get your record play or this, that, and the other, I am so happy that I am strong enough to know that I am good to myself.
Yeah.
Do you think that it's any worse for female musicians?
Oh, it's really, really, really worse for a female.
Oh, my God, yeah. It's difficult.
It's difficult. And if you look out now, most of the music is being played. He listen. Most of the music is being played by, or you're seeing artists or performers. They're mostly men now out there. The women some of the women don't do as well as the men.
Right.
The men has an agenda. They want to try to get into that woman's head to try to see if I can get her to do this or do this so I can, you know, make her feel like she blowing up or this, that, and other. The key word is you got to know that you got to know yourself that what you can do, you know. And I know I'm good.
Oh, yeah.
And I have been blessed, and I'm thankful that...
Then you are good.
Go that route.
If you weren't good, I wouldn't be playing your music.
Well, I wouldn't
on
be
here,
huh?
There you go. There is Dr. Feelgood Potts right there. And All Blues Saturday right here at Radio Memphis, here in the midst of the booze and blues on this Sunday evening. Thank you for tuning in. Sheba Potts Wright is also here. We heard some music from her boy toy. Not from her boy toy, but from her called boy toy.
Yeah, boy toy.
I'm not going to get into all of that with you. So, yeah.
I think we wrote that song there for the ladies who
have a boy toy.
Yeah, who have a boy toy.
Well, you know.
That was popular back then.
That was a popular song, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. That's a true song, too.
Sheba, you said you had a show coming up pretty soon, right?
I do. I have a show coming up this coming weekend. I'm headed to Augusta, Georgia, and then from there we're going to do the show actually in Allendale, South Carolina.
Okay.
Uh-huh. I'm going to do the show there. But I just recently did a show here in Memphis at Club Paradise, the new Club Paradise.
The new Club Paradise, yes.
Yeah, I sure did. I don't do a lot of stuff here at home, but, you know, I try to do my share.
Memphis is a tough town, isn't it?
It is tough. It is tough, especially when you reside in it. It's
Tell me about it, honey.
But I have a lot of fans here, and, you know, they support me the best they know how and things like that. Because most of my music that I come up with, me and the record company come up with, I'm usually trying to cater to the ladies out there.
Sure,
you know?
I'm
saying the things that they want to say or they can't say, you know, because they're not.
Amen.
Out there. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's definitely a well-deserved audience for that. You know, absolutely.
And most of the songs that my dad wrote for me, he would tell me, that's good for your lady audience and things like that. So, yeah. So if you listen to most of my music, as you can see, I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I'm missing one. I got more than that. I can't remember. CDs out. Yeah. That's ridiculous.
Well, they're all available for sale online, right?
You can get them online. You can go
like Amazon, I'm sure.
Amazon. You can go through echorecords.com.
Yeah.
Available
where
they're
sold
available
is
where,
we would like to say.
I wish we still had, what was the music store, Daddy? Boss Ugly Bob's and places like that here.
Pop tunes.
Yes, that would be it.
The internet changed all of that now, didn't it?
It did change all of that. You know, but I had an idea, and I want y'all to remember this. Okay, like I said, most of my music is for the women out there, and it's a message. Like my new song, it's new to me, but I mean, not new to me. It might be new to some of the listeners. Stay With Your Wife.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I have it. We'll play it here in a little while.
Really? Okay. Well, that song there, actually, you can see that song on YouTube. I have a video out on that.
Oh, my.
Shoot, yeah. You got to look at that.
Oh,
that's a message in that song. Yeah. You know, I'm speaking out. Most of the men would do this kind of damage to home.
Uh-huh.
So I'm speaking from a woman point, you know. We might want to have a little fun here and there every now and then until you're going back home.
Thank you.
So yeah, that's what that is. That to me, it hit home for a lot of women.
Oh, I bet.
And then
I
have this song I call "I Can Hear Your Macaroni Boy."
Yeah.
That song is simply saying to these guys who always want to come and try to get something from you and this, that, and the other. They always talking, but they ain't giving you no money. They don't want to pay no bills or do nothing like that. So that's what I'm doing. I'm trying to make sure I get that out for them so they can hear that.
Oh, yeah. That's important.
Didn't raise no dummy, did you, Daddy? That's right. Yeah, I have to do it. But as I was about to say, when we were talking about Blues Man's Daughter, I would love to be able to find some people and try to get a movie or get something going behind that. I was listening to my song and then looking at my dad. I'm like, you know, that's real.
Yeah.
You know, and that reminds me of the movie. What was that movie where they did here in Memphis? 3-6 Mafia.
Hustle and Flow.
Hustle and Flow.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, hey.
Craig Brewer did that. Yeah.
Yes, he did. Brewer did that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, hey, you never know. Y'all might run into him. Say, hey, we got an idea. Blues Man's Daughter.
You go with that. I like it.
Yeah.
This is the home of the blues. I would love to play that part.
Yeah, you don't see too many of those from the female viewpoint.
You don't, and it's kind of a shame, really, you know, because there's a lot of women in blues, but it's it's, I don't know, for some reason, I don't know if it's a point of being held down or what. It's hard, and I know it's harder for them to be elevated to those levels that a lot of guys do.
But you know, when you look at it, back then, that particular blues, and he might want to say something on that, I don't know. But back then, that particular blues that they had was coming from a place that was somewhat sad, but yeah. It was real. But you know, when you think about it today, we're still living in the blues.
Yes.
Blues had a baby and they named the baby Rock and Roll. That's what.
He just came out of nowhere, did he?
He's right.
Named the baby Rock and Roll. And they also named the baby Southern Soul, and they named the baby other name too. But it came, basically, it came from the blues.
Back down. The Tin Pan Alley blues. Yeah, he's right. And I forgot to mention, it was just brought to my attention, the show that I did at the Club Paradise, I'm so honored to say, I was a part of this experience, but it was a show for domestic violence.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Club Paradise was a stomping ground for connection all over the world. You had a hit record, you were going to come to Club Paradise.
Oh, yeah, that's right. They had a lot of stars there. But the show that we did last Friday night, it was for domestic violence. And I did a lot of radio interviews with Clear Channel and stuff, mm-hmm. and we got it out, you know, because it's serious.
It is. Yeah. It's very serious. Yeah, absolutely, you know? It is.
I'm about what's truthful, and that was it was a good idea. I'm glad they brought me in on that.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, Mitchell. It was. Yeah.
Do you still write with your dad?
Dad and I started writing on a song probably about 2 months ago. I remember telling him an idea that I had, and we didn't complete it.
Uh-oh.
We didn't complete it, but we need to get back into it.
Still sitting on the shelf there,
still
Sheba.
Still sitting on the shelf. I think it's going to be a hit. And I can't remember the title I gave. Dad, do you remember?
No, I can't remember.
We had a groove going.
Yeah, we did. We did have a groove going. I don't remember the exact words now.
Yeah.
About the song.
Yeah, but he's an excellent writer, so I do want to get more in before, you know, something happens to me or him or whatever. It's just so much knowledge in both of our heads, you know, these little few CDs I have, but I want to go further. You know, I want to go further.
Oh, God, don't stop.
Yeah,
don't stop.
You're the blues man's daughter, right?
I'm the blues man's daughter. Movie coming soon.
That's a great title.
It is.
You never know who might be listening that might pick up on that.
Yeah.
And we know some people too. So, yeah. You know, we'll kind of plant those seeds and see what happens.
Yeah, well, tell them I'm here. You know.
I'm well, it's a beautiful story, quite frankly.
It really is.
I mean, coming from a family so well regarded mm-hmm. in the music industry as the Potts family.
And I've learned so much from him and being around him. And even right now, you know, I used to work for a Methodist hospital for years, and I decided to go ahead and retire and spend more time with him. Uh-huh. So, you know, it's still a learning experience every day.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yep, so much we can do. We trying to get him to play this harmonica, but I don't know.
I bet if he played it, could you sing with him?
I'll try to sing something,
key,
but the
different.
C got something go with it, Daddy. Hit it hard.
I wish I had brought my harmonica with me, Ron.
Well, just blow something. Just blow something. I know you. What you talking about? He looking for that yeah, and he has one longer too.
Oh yeah,
I heard that nowhere was supposed to be. But what song were you trying to play, Daddy?
I just mess around with you.
He was writing one for you right here in the studio is what he was doing.
That's what it was. I'm a lover that still has the blues. I'm a lover, but I still have the blues. I want my man back, baby, so I can tell this blues to get on, so I won't have the blues no more. Dun, dun, dun. Yay! That's good. Yeah, next time we'll know what to do. We're gonna bring the big long. That's still good, Dad. That's still good.
That's wonderful.
Thank you.
That is so cool.
Yeah.
No, baby. Listen to what I have to say. We've been having a whole lot of fun, just fooling around on the side. And what we've got going on in the bedroom is really good to me, I can't deny. But now
feel. That's a move on ladder.
you see your love is so doggone good. I swear, honey, I just can't stop sitting. And right now, baby, as a matter of fact, I know you can guess what's on my mind. Listen, baby. It's a shame we got to meet on the back street. We don't want your man to ever find out about you and me. I know cheating is a risky business, so we got to keep our game up tight. That's why we got to slip around at night. Listen, baby, maybe let's slip out tonight. Maybe let's slip out tonight. I can way until the sun go down, so we can meet somewhere on the other side of town. Wanting you through the day sometimes gets so hard to bear. Hurry sundown, cause we got a lot of love to share. Baby, let's slip out tonight. Honey, let's slip out tonight. So we got to keep our gang up tight. They say what goes on in the dark will someday come to light. I don't mind taking that chance, cause your love is the sweetest love I ever had. Every time we're together, I'm hoping that time will last. Baby, let's slip out tonight. Honey, let's slip out tonight. Baby, let's slip out tonight. I can't wait to take you in my arms and hold you tight.
Dr. Feelgood Potts at Radio Memphis. Let's slip out tonight. What are y'all thinking about over there?
I know. I'm trying to figure out what inspired you to write this song, Dad.
I felt like it was be a good groove tune, you know, for the audience. Dig on. They doing a lot of slipping out back then.
I think they might still be doing it.
I think they still doing it, Dad.
They can relate to that.
That's a good song, yeah.
Of course, we know that didn't apply to you at all, right?
No, of course not.
No.
I'm trying to get him a girlfriend. I told him I want to take her home with us.
Rosie?
Yeah, take Rosie home. But he said, no, nah, he'll need no problems.
That's just, she doesn't talk. You know.
But she don't talk, Dad.
She ain't gonna
she
tell
don't cook either, does she, Dad?
Well, she's got oven mitts on.
She got oven mitts on. She doesn't wear hands, mate. No fingers. Yeah.
Well, ahead of that, we heard from you, Sheba. There it was Stay With Your Wife.
Yes.
One there for the ladies.
Yes. Yeah, those words are powerful there. Powerful words. And like I said, I want people to go and visit me on the internet and YouTube or whatever, and Google my name, and they can actually see the video. Yeah.
Was it a production video type thing, or is it something you performing on stage?
No, it's actually production.
Oh, yeah.
Some is where I'm performing on stage. Most of it was done here in Memphis on Beale Street and everything.
Yeah.
And I think I kind of spoke early about what the song was all about. You know, I was speaking of how the men would go out and mess with the women or something and then leave them hanging dry. I'm going back home. So I thought I'd beat them to the point, you know, to the punch, that is.
Well, sure.
Yeah.
That works out.
I can tell them, stay with your wife. She love you. I don't.
Yeah.
She'll do things for you that I won't, okay?
Right.
Yeah.
Do you have a lot of women at the shows, at your shows?
I do. I think I have more women at the show than the men. I know there are a lot of men who want to come alone or what
because
have you,
but the women are there.
Right, right. Yeah. But then too, some of the women might be like, you're not going to see her. Nah, I'm going too. You know? You're not going by yourself to see her. So, but you know, that's why I have to reach out to my women first.
Oh, yeah.
To get them in, you know, and then they bring their men and
so
stuff.
These guys are thinking that they're going to just go find you backstage and have a chat.
Right.
Say, hey, baby, how you doing?
Yeah, hey, baby. If they want me with them, oh, no, you get right on back.
You get your ass back in that seat over there. I know how that is.
You said it for me. That's right. Yeah, but most of them are women. They are women.
Well, you know, women in the music business seem to be a little more approachable, I think, is part of it. It's I don't know why that is, but, you know.
Well, to me, for some reason, and I've learned since I've been in this business, that the ones that are really spending the money for these shows are the women.
Yeah.
You know, and the men are just tagging along with them, okay? I think, to me now, I could be wrong, I think the guys are more approachable.
You think?
Because, yeah. Well, you know, when the guys are singing to these, you know, to these women, it's a woman out there, or maybe tons of them always think that he's talking directly to her.
Yeah. Right.
You know?
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
And they just want to just touch that person. And most of the guys that I've been around, except for maybe two of them, I will not call their name, they felt like, you know, nobody could touch them. But they saw that it was time to get off that horse and, you know, they made a few changes and stuff. So the women, they like to feel like, you know, you're talking directly to them. And I have been caught a lot of times trying to talk directly to the men, and I said, this is not going to work. You know
that? That's going to push the wrong button.
That's the wrong button, absolutely.
So
I have to sing to him. You know,
I don't see a ring on your finger. Have you ever been married?
I have been married, yes. My husband passed away a few years ago.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So I'm not married now. Yeah, you see, my hand is free. I don't want it to be free, but I, you know, it's cool being free right now.
Look out, fellas!
What? Woo!
You're gonna go sing to the boys now.
Yeah. So you know, I'm just it'll happen.
Your dad there, Dr. Feelgood, he I'm sure sang to these ladies out there too. I mean, it's there's a lot of ladies out there in that audience.
Yeah, he's had his share. How about your dad? He used to wear a doctor's lab jacket.
Oh,
lab
really?
Jacket
that, when he performed. There you go.
Yeah, he got stories to tell. Huh?
He's got no comment.
I see that smile. Yeah, I'm going to speak on his behalf.
You can tell that from some of the song titles of his.
He said he was a mess with himself. Now, I'm going to be honest. I have ran across women of all races that love Dr. Feelgood. And some women from, I don't know if they were from Europe or somewhere, had gotten in touch with Ann Hines. And Ann Hines said, Sheba, please get your dad down here to Blues Hall. It's some women there from overseas and they came to see your dad. You know? And
I
it
have,
was
I have had a lot of people from different countries say, are you still on Beale Street? I'm not coming till you go back.
But let me tell the story. It's one lady, I don't know what her nationality was. She actually wanted to take care of him and everything.
Uh-oh.
Yes. And see, if it's okay for me to say, Dad lost his wife also a few years back. So I don't know if she got a wing of it or what, but she was ready to take him back.
She had a plan.
Yeah, slip out tonight.
She wanted to make sure he did really still feel good.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
You got to look out for that now.
You do. But when you listen to some of those titles now, I'm like, okay, now I know why. Yeah.
Well, he's writing to that audience, and that's what you do, you know. You have to cater to that audience.
Oh, you have to cater to.
And you do the same thing.
I definitely do. I recut, but I mean, I don't do this, but I recut the Soul Children song back in 2003, I believe it was. I'll Be the Other Woman. Do y'all remember that? Jay Black from the Soul Children.
Yes.
And I recut that song. And when I sing that song, ladies and men, they just stand to their feet. They scream out, you know. They love it, you know. It was a message in it about, you know, I'll be the other woman long as I know I'm the only other woman you're making love to, other than your woman, your wife, you know. But now when I get up there, I say, no, I'm just singing this song. You know?
You're having to kind of grit your teeth. Yeah, I'm going to do this.
This is not me.
This is not me.
This is not me. No. But you got to, you know, sing what they want to hear.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You got to give those fans what they want.
You got to.
You got any new records coming out soon?
Well, I am working. I've been in the studio for a few months now, and I've actually had my dad with me. I don't know when we're going to release it. We're trying to get something out by the first part of next year.
Yeah.
Yeah. So for some reason, I lay back. 2 years. I should keep it going, but I'll lay back for a while because I put out so much good stuff and I'm like, come on, let's get this stuff playing. You know, it's messages in these songs. It's reasons for these songs.
Right.
And things.
Yeah. Do you feel sometimes that those messages are actually being delivered though, or are they just really into the tune?
Well,
I know as an artist, you have your purpose, what you want to do.
Right.
But you wonder sometimes, is it falling on deaf ears or are they just really liking the song?
Well, I tell you, it's a few people, they butter me up, as one of his words he used to say all the time, butter me up pretty good.
Yeah.
Being a Facebook person and an Instagram person, I have people reach out to me all the time on Facebook or Instagram and say, I love your music. I love your song. Your song did this to me, or, you know, yada yada. So I guess in a way, it does get to some of them.
That's good.
It really is good.
That's good to know. That kind of gives yourself a little bit of validation, I suppose.
Right.
You know?
Absolutely. And I know he would always tell me, you know, sing songs with feelings, with meanings and stuff, you know, to get the message across to the people, and they'll always know who you are and remember you and things like that. So that's my goal, to try to do that.
Right. No, that's beautiful. Now keep doing it. Like I said earlier, don't stop.
Lipstick on His Pants. That song came out on my first CD, on the self-entitled CD, Sheba.
Uh-huh.
And that song was inspired me through John Ford, if I may say. And it's not what it sounds like.
What do you mean?
Okay.
In that sentence with that name now, I know, you know, you know.
What's the story, Sheba? Yeah.
But for some reason, that song made a lot of people, you know, come out with stories that they had.
Yeah.
You know, it used to be lipstick on the collar.
Listen, my ex-husband came home one time with some lipstick on his shirt, and I saw it. It was a little bit faint. So I just put my lips on it to make it darker so he couldn't deny it.
You know? That was smart.
That's sneaky right there.
That's very sneaky. That's sneaky. But I actually had women come out, and I had J. Michael Davis, which is deceased now.
Yeah,
he told me about...
I used to work with him over there.
Did you really? Yeah, good guy. I miss him. But he told me about a story that actually he was in that position. Where he came home with lipstick on his pants, you know. So it made a lot of people come forth about it. Yeah, I'm like, dude, how did you get it on there? See, Was it the midsection? Was it on the back part? Was it on the side?
Maybe he was a little loaded and his wife did it and he didn't,
didn't know it.
He didn't know it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But yeah, that reached quite a few people. You know, they started telling their stories. Yeah, sure did.
Well, Sheba, thank you so very much for coming down tonight and bringing your dad, Dr. Feelgood Potts, down here. I know this is it's been a while trying to get this together. Mark Caldwell helped make this happen tonight, so thank you so much.
We appreciate you. Yeah, yeah. We actually saw him on Bill Street when we Lightning Malcolm. That's what he go by?
The guitar player?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, because I used to just call him
Big
Lightning.
Sweaty white guy?
You know who I was thinking about? Lightning Hopkins. Yeah. He just recently passed.
You really actually talking about Lightning, the guitar player.
Yeah, guitar player, yeah.
Yeah, Lightning Malcolm. Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, he played with me many years on Bill Street.
Sure did. Yeah, he sure did. But I remember we got a chance to do something on his CD.
Oh, good.
Yeah, the coming out to Memphis thing, and I did two songs on it. I think Dad did one or something. And that night we were actually having a release party. I think it was.
Take your money maker.
You're talking about Robert Allen Parker.
Oh, Robert Allen Parker. Yes,
that's on that his record, name.
And I saw them when they were.
That's Robert right. You're on that record. Yes.
Yeah. I wish we had it. You know what? I do have it.
The Robert Allen Parker record? And I have it.
Yeah, I have it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, that's he's great. Really, he's a great guy.
That's something that you should definitely play because that was my first time ever trying to do a Tina Turner song.
Oh, did you know?
Oh, wow. Yes. Yes, it's on there and it sounds so good.
Yeah.
Ooh-wee. What is, God, I can't. What's the name of that song? But it's nice. It's nice. Yeah. And I said, okay, this is the opportunity for me now to do what I said I want to do. You know, come over into another era.
Yeah.
Don't get so comfortable in one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Here there it is. Yeah. What was the name of that song? Put my glasses on this song.
Look on the back. There's a track list
on
the
back. I'm 25 years old. I still need my...
I hear you, honey. I just...
Okay. Sheba Potts. I put a spell on you. I did that one. And I did Crazy About Your Baby.
That's it.
I love it.
Yes.
That's a great song. I know you're going to play a couple more songs on me, Slow mm-hmm. Roll or whatever. Mm-hmm. Make sure you play that one too.
We'll get it.
Crazy About Your Baby.
We'll get it.
Beautiful song. Yes. Dad, you good? Blues man? Mm.
Are you ready to go home?
I'm listening.
Yeah, that's how he listens.
Well, thank you again so much. Anytime y'all want to come down, you're more than welcome to come spend some time.
We enjoyed it.
Absolutely.
We really enjoyed it. You enjoyed that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did.
Yeah, we're going to look for you guys to invite us out and do some things with you.
Absolutely. Yeah, we can.
Do
we can
not forget us.
No,
okay?
We will not forget you. No.
If you can't get me, you know to get the manager over here, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Tiny stuff coming, so we can help.
Great, yeah. Great, okay.
Yeah, we got some good, exciting stuff that's coming, too.
That's good.
Well, on that, I was going to wrap it up by playing Slow Roll It.
Good. My hit song.
That's your hit.
My hit song. What made me, inspired by Denise LaSalle.
Yeah.
Written by Sir Charles Jones.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, we'll wrap it up with that.
Okay.
Great. Thank you so very much.
Thank you, guys.
Dr. Feelgood Potts, thank you, my friend. We appreciate you coming down tonight.
Thank you.
Anything you want to say before we go?
I just said it's my pleasure to come down.
Boy, I tell you, he's all right with me, though.
Oh,
he's
yeah. Right well, hey, that's family. That's daddy.
Uh-huh.
Right on.
Thank you all so much.
All right. Well, here's Slow Roll It, and we'll see y'all later.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
All right. Slow Roll It. You know, I got a message for all the men out there. With emotion, they know something about what a woman wants. Who thinks slow a young woman it. Don't know nothing about how to slow roll it? You've been stroke missing all emotion. The fun if you think a young girl don't understand how to slow roll it. Because she just got to know what to do, when to do,
stroke it with emotion.
How to do, and where to do it. And not only that, let me tell you, man, another thing. I taught my man how to get on down and slow
roll it. Slow roll it. Yeah, yeah. I sure know how
stroke
to
stroke
it with emotion. I met a man much older, and I whipped this thing on him. I taught him how to take his time and do it right. I showed him how to be a certified lover and do it well under the covers. Now he do it with emotion. I'll make any man leave his home. This young girl's got it going on. So roll it, yeah. I sure know how to
stroke it with emotion.
Stroke it with emotion. From Sheba. Young girls really got it going on. When she knows how to stroke it with emotion, not only can she move it to the left, she can move it to the right and work it all night. So listen to this man if you want to know how to please a young woman. Huh. It ain't what you got, it's how you use it. To make her start moaning, you sure can't abuse. You gotta kiss her on her toes. You gotta kiss her on her shoulder, yeah. Gotta kiss her on her navel. You gotta get a bit bolder. Gotta make her feel good. Gotta make her know it. Gotta make her say, baby, ooh, you can slow roll it. Roll it, slow roll it. Oh, you can do it, you can. You just gotta stroke it with emotion. Then any young girl can get on down. Slow roll it, yeah. Oh, yes, you can. You gotta stroke it with emotion. Stroke it with emotion. Oh, yeah. And one more thing. I told my baby to stroke it with emotion. Sock it to me.
Slow roll it.
I can do it to the left. I can do it to the right. I can work that thing all night.
Slow roll it.
Oh yeah. I know I sure know how to. Yeah.
Stroke it with emotion.
I sure can, y'all. Oh, I can.
Slow roll it.
Ooh, a young girl can understand just how to
stroke it with emotion.
Stroke it with emotion.
Slow roll it.
Slow roll it, yeah. I made the man leave his home. Made him leave all those other women alone.
Slow roll it.
I just know how to. I just know how to stroke it with emotion.
Hi, this is Reverend Oma from the Broom Closet Metaphysical Shop. The Broom Closet is your one-stop shop for all of your metaphysical needs, such as candles, gemstones, herbs, gifts, and more. We now also stock CBD oil, vape kits, lotion, and edibles. The Broom Closet is also host to monthly workshops, rituals, and drum circles for those interested in conscious living. The Broom Closet is the only place to get your cards read by me, Reverend Oma, or one of our other amazing readers. Discover the Broom Closet Metaphysical Shop in historic downtown Memphis or online at thebroomclosetmemphis.com. The Broom Closet, let us help you light your path.
Here's what's coming up on the next episode from Radioland with Rick Cheddar.
Kids, tonight we got a hell of a show for you. Natalie's here.
Hi.
How are you, Natalie?
I'm awesome. So happy to be here.
Yeah. And Avril is sitting here. How you doing?
I sure am.
Yeah. You just keep fanning because I'm hot over here.
I know. Oh, you're getting the air too. I just didn't want to.
You're not bothering me at all. No, the AC is still out. Even though it's like, you know, 40-something degrees outside, and it feels nice, it could be a lot worse. We could be in July dealing with this problem, but hopefully this week I'll get it all sorted out. But it's not going to affect what we got going on down here because Mick Colossa is here, and has brought the whole damn band down here.
Ooh, it's going to get hotter in here, I think, Greg.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, the Tatum May Blues Band is in the house, and we've got you set up through the PA over here. So how you doing, Mick? I know you were here a few weeks ago. But
But I brought the whole band of my merry men.
For previous episodes, go to radio-memphis.com. To download episodes to your mobile device, search the show in iTunes, player.fm, stitcher.com, Pocket Cast, or TuneIn. And now, here's more with Rick Cheddar from Radioland.
Right on. You heard what's coming up next time on the program, and we'll get into all that sorts of fun. It'll be a big time. In the meantime, of course, I've got to go. I say it at the end of every episode of this show, and it never ceases to upset me when I hear that another mass shooting has taken place. My deepest sympathies and my condolences to those in the Pittsburgh synagogue who were killed by a crazy man, and those that have had to, or those that survived it and have to live with that as well. It is it's a sad state of affairs, and when the president of the United States decides to blame the victim, as he does all the time, it doesn't make the situation any better. These were people. Some of these people survived the Holocaust, and they lost their lives last week. So, such as it is, please keep those people in your thoughts. Until next time, I gotta go. Take care of yourselves. Take care of one another. And for God's sake, stop shooting each other. All right. I'm Rick Cheddar, and this has been from Radioland.
Rick Cheddar from Radioland is produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated, Memphis, Tennessee. All music performed during this episode was used by permission. No part of this program can be rebroadcast or used in any other way except by written consent. For bookings and other inquiries, you can write the show by sending an email to radioland@pirateradiostudios.com. For more, go to radio-memphis.com.